John 3.
Well, God is great.
Greater to be praised.
And greatly to be praised. We've been looking at the third chapter for a couple of weeks. And that third chapter is going to emphasize what I'm going to teach today, that God is love, and we're the only one, the only religion that has a God who is loving. All the other gods are hateful because they're no gods at all, because they want to put all the pressure on you to behave. God judges your heart, which is filled with faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It does not judge your behavior. You will never be before a judge who will then ask about your behavior. The behavior just simply is a proof that your heart is right. And it's right because you have your eyes fixed on Jesus. It's right because you love Jesus and you believe his word and you obey his voice. But you might think that's referring to your behavior. No, the behavior is a gift. You didn't even do it. If you did something and it was acceptable to God, you did it in faith or you did it by sight. Either way. If you do it by faith, which we do today, because we haven't seen him, and so he's not going to judge your behavior. He knows that if you behave, that was him. He knows that if you behave, that was him. Beholding him, we are changed. Beholding him, not beholding it, not beholding some denomination, not beholding your church, whatever kind of church it might be. You're only beholding not the other members. You're only beholding him. And therefore, you are changed. So your change comes from beholding him. Doesn't come from behaving. Doesn't come from behaving. Because when you behave, you give God all the glory. When you behave, you know, I know inside, that wasn't me. That was God. That was God acting through me. And men, when they saw my good works, they gave glory to my Father in heaven, because they knew the Father did that. For me, then in me, and then through me. For me, in me, and then through me. Now, that is good news. Because every other religion is under a law. You must do this or you don't go. Ours is not like that. Ours is, nope. You go because I want you to go. I'll do all the work that you should have done. I'll make it perfect. And so ours is a religion unlike any others, because all the other religions are idols. They're false. They're not true. They never existed. They're either ancestors that we name, like Jupiter, which is Japheth. They're either ancestors or they're some relative that we had who started things off. So I'm not knocking any of those religions, because they're no religions at all. They're just idol worshippers. They're worshiping something that doesn't exist. So everyone wants pride, but you don't get any pride in our religion because you didn't do it. You didn't create yourself. You didn't justify yourself. You didn't sanctify yourself. You didn't glorify yourself. You didn't do anything. You didn't marry Jesus. That was his idea. He loved you while you were yet sinners. He didn't say, I'll wait till they merit something. He'd be waiting a long time, because all of us partake of Adam's sin until you become a believer. And then there's no condemnation. There's no condemnation. Do y'all understand this? This is a religion unlike any others, and that's why most ministers have a sad face. I'm not saying they all do, but I'm just saying you can spot them in the airport. they're kind of sad because they have to make sure everyone is lined up. I've never worried about any behavior of anybody at any time. And measuring by Alex, I know that there's a lot of you that are naughty, naughty, naughty. And I just do that by looking at you. Remember that. No, I'm just joking. I'm just having fun. We have a happy religion. Happy is the man that trusts in the Lord.
Amen.
We have a happy religion. Everyone else's religion is not, because it's a lie. They want you to put pressure on you to behave. Now, that's the way you're raised, to behave. And there's nothing wrong with it. It doesn't send you to hell because you do something wrong, or do something right, because you can't do anything right and you can't stop doing anything wrong. I need to say that again. I don't know that you grasp that. You can't do right and you can't stop doing wrong. Only Jesus, his death on the cross, saved you from yourself.
Hallelujah.
And he did all the good you're ever going to do. And you'll be judged by Jesus, because Jesus lived a perfect sacrifice, the perfect life, on your behalf. He didn't do it in his name. He did it in the Father's name. And when he comes back, even the Jewish people will say, he cometh in the name of the Lord. Baruch Abba B'Shem Adonai. Baruch Abba. That means blessed be he that comes in the name of the Lord. So he didn't come in his own name. He never did his own will. He never did anything he wanted. He did what the Father wanted, just as you do. You do what the Father wants. But you do it in faith, because you don't feel it. You don't even understand it. You don't even want to do it, right? This is what disciplines us. And no other religion has this. The Buddhists don't have this religion. Though they look like they do, they're thinking they're doing a good work. But it's not. So everything they do. We have a loving Father. He's never been an angry judge. And he will never be. Even if you go to hell, you go on your own cognizance. You go because you misbehaved. You broke his law. But there's forgiveness with Jesus, so you don't have to worry about that. Now, I know this is hard, even though you heard me say it a good billion times. I like to remind you, every week he judges your heart, not your soul. He wants your soul dead so that you don't participate and cooperate, because you're not able to, because you can't do anything perfect. How many know perfect is only done by God? Nobody's perfect. Little kids, they don't understand what I just said. But whether they're, they can be in kindergarten even, they do know what being wrong is. They know, because they have a conscience. But a conscience won't tell you that there's 50 gods or 5 billion. A conscience can't tell you anything. It just says right, wrong, you know, green light, red light. I mean, it's just simply something that says, that was wrong. You bit my hand and I knew that was wrong because it hurt. And I bite your hand, but I have a story. I bit your hand because you deserved it. So I always have stories for myself, but none for everybody else. Do you understand? Because the deepest thing in mankind ever since sin entered the world was to be God. The deepest sin of mankind was, I want to be loved. I want to be liked. I want to be blessed. I want to be, I want to be great. I want people to breathe when I come into the room. I want people to gasp. Well, everybody has that. You can say you don't, but everybody's proud. Everybody's proud of themselves, and it's okay. But the point is, that won't send you to hell, and it won't make you go to heaven. The only thing that makes you go to heaven is God wants you there. And he's written this gospel. So let's read from the 15th chapter here in John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Y'all with me? All right. So 15 says something like this, that everyone believing into him, Jesus, put your eyes on Jesus, should not perish. Everyone believeth into him should not perish, but you have everlasting life. If you believe in Jesus, don't even think about this. If you believe in Jesus, if you've heard the gospel, and you can't find anything wrong in it, Because it's a gift. How much do you have to work for to get a gift? If somebody's going to give you a gift, you know, celebrate your birthday or anything. Yesterday was our anniversary. But if somebody wants to give you a gift, you don't have to work hard at it because it's a gift. And the gift doesn't say, do something so you earn this, so that you merit this. All other religions require that you go the eightfold way if you're a Hindu, or you know, you have to do something or stop doing something. That is for human beings. We judge that way. If you speed over the speed limit, you could be caught, and so on and so forth. But there you have to prove yourself, but not with God. God doesn't want you to prove because you're not perfect. So how can you prove if you're not perfect? You'll never prove up. Okay. Praise God. Amen. You're late. But we love you anyway. No, thank you, because we needed two more people. All right. So you do nothing for a gift. If somebody gives you a gift, you don't do anything to get it. I know the Santa Claus says, you know, he's making a list, checking it twice, trying to find out who's naughty and nice. But that's not God. Santa Claus is not God. So we never did celebrate him. Our kids and grandmother felt we were bad parents because we never celebrated that. We did give in and make a tree finally, but other than that, I built a manger when they were kids, a life-size manger. You could walk into it, put some branches on it and some, you know, lights and stuff. It's fun only if you're a little kid. But after, you know, you get to be 10 or 12 or something like that, you realize there probably is no God. Now, I didn't know there wasn't Santa Claus until I was 12. Because we didn't go to church, so we never knew any of that stuff. But when I saw that they were arranging gifts, when, I don't know, I woke up, I guess. And I woke up, uh-oh, they're doing this.
Right.
That's the first time it dawned on me. I was a really stupid kid. So like, I didn't know. My parents are buying all these gifts and putting Santa on it. Anyway. So we have a God that's a loving father, never been an angry judge. And that's why I can smile every day. Because I have a God that loves me before I love him.
Amen.
He loves us. And then that's why we love others, because he loves us. And then we love God, and because he blesses us, we thank him. And then thank him. All you can do to a person that has everything, knows everything, is everything, you can't give them anything, so you can just say thank you. That's all you can say. We enter his gates with thanksgiving in our hearts, and into his courts with praise. And then we adore him and love him and about to worship him and marry him forever and ever. So God has never harmed anybody at any time, ever. Now, I know if you read the Old Testament, it sounds like it, because he does things. God would not do that if they actually were a believer. So he knows their heart. And he can see that wickedness dominates the earth. You can see it every day. It can happen to the littlest of kids and to the year old. So, nothing. Don't be surprised. Fret not because of evildoers, the Bible says. The Bible says, don't worry about evildoers. Well, they're everywhere. They're everywhere, especially today with the news and, you know, it pushing you in your face. So you can see that, oh, there's a murder here and somebody's beating on somebody's window and so on. Nothing new under the sun. It's been that way from the beginning. Adam and Eve started it off, and their son Canaan killed his brother. I mean, not Canaan, but Cain. He killed his brother, Abel. So murderers from the beginning, thievery, lying, cheating, that's all. That's not new to you. Now, the only thing, the miracle, is that you're able to be a holy person, meaning you believe in God. That's all a holy person is. You just believe God is good. You could be that in the midst of a sinful world. Are you aware of that? I dwell in the midst of other people that are drinking, smoking, chewing, and whatever they do, and so on and so forth. It doesn't bother me. Their sin does not make me sin. I'm not going to sin because they sin. I'm not motivated by what they do. So since I'm not, I'm happy. Because I didn't even know what happiness was till I met Jesus. I met him really late in my life. But I've been happy ever since. Karen, same?
Yes.
Yeah, it's amazing. You just live all those years just trying to get by, ignorant, and then all of a sudden you meet Jesus. Wow. It's like, I wouldn't do what he's doing. He's forgiven me from all my sins. Golly. He must have a computer upstairs, looking at all my sins. And if anyone would say, you're sinning, I'd go, well, don't tell anybody. I don't want that to be known. Because you go to jail or you get fined or, people will punish you. But not God. God punished his own son. Jesus, I want you to go downstairs and tell everybody their sins are forgiven. That's all he did. He just came down, all your sins are forgiven, and you need to die, so I'll die for you. And then you need to be justified, I'll do that too. And you need to be sanctified, I'll do that too. You need to be glorified, I'll do that too. You need to marry me, I'll be the first to ask you, will you marry me? So Jesus makes it easy on us. We're his church. We're the bride of Christ. So I like to talk about the love of God because it's that's who God is. He's always been a loving father. We're the only ones that are loving father. All the others want to pressure you to behave. They're totally into behavior modification. Modify your behavior so you please me. No, that's a slave master. It's making you a slave. So all the other religions, they're slaves of the God that wants them to behave. Well, that's too much. It was too much for me. All I want to do is survive every day. It's just, I made it up, whatever. Try not to be late, Dan. I just bawled Raul out. Now you... Actually, I really don't care. I don't even think about people's sins unless you walk in late like that. Because I'm not a judge, because I'm always, doing wrong. How many still sin? I mean, just sneaky stuff like being proud of yourself, or judging others, or, thinking... Well, thank God I'm not like him. I'm not like her. And so those are favorite sins. But we have a God that's so loving that he'll never change his mind. He's the same yesterday and today and forever. Amen. And he's not a respecter of persons. He doesn't care if you're a pastor or a street sweeper or just, drunk in the gutter. He doesn't care. He loves you with an unconditional love. And he made the church so we'd love our neighbor as ourselves. And when you do that, it's really not painful if you believe that Jesus did it. It's painful if you had to do it. But it's not painful if Jesus did it for you. And I've learned to do that, not think about it, just do it. And it works out good. It's amazing. So nobody's sin makes me sin. Just my own. So, and every once in a while I'll misbehave. Every once in a while, like every nanosecond, I'll misbehave. Because I'm not perfect. I'm not even trying to be perfect. I don't even work at it. Peggy can tell you that. I don't work at it. I'm totally unapologetic about it. I'm not good, Raul. I think you've behaved, you know, nicely these last few years. But I think when you were younger, you were misbehaving. Who cares? Since God doesn't care, I don't care, right? So if I meet someone, I don't see an enemy. I don't see an enemy. I see a brother. I see a sister. That's it. Since that's the case, I get along well in the world because there's so many people that misbehave, I don't have to even think about it. Because it says in the Bible, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So that I don't even have to think about it. If all have sinned, then all have sinned. I don't even think about it. It's not something in my conscious mind. You sinned. I say it to Peggy because she doesn't want to sin. So, and I say that, Peggy, you just lied. You just said this. You just said that. But she doesn't respond well to that. She wants to defend herself. I did not. How many know you don't have to apologize to God? He loved you while you were sinners. He loved you while you were sinners. You can sin all you want. You still won't go to hell because you sinned. You'll go to hell for no reason at all, except you didn't believe Jesus forgave you. And that he will cleanse you. And that he will then perfect you. And then he wants to marry you. And then he wants to give you a crown on your head. Then he wants to give you, you know, eternal life. I mean, he wants to just do everything for you. You haven't even seen the best part of God. You haven't even seen it. What he did on earth was just to save you. And then, you know, begin to cleanse you, but you're not cleansed yet. How many know that? Christians sin. Christians sin. And so, except for Dan and Raul. The rest of you are sinners. No. So everybody is. So don't ever have an eye for being critical. You sinned. So I don't have that. Now, the 15th chapter says these words. So must the Son of Man be lifted up that everyone believing in him, the Son of Man, should not perish. Wow. Isn't that great? You'll never perish. You'll live forever and ever. Everybody here is going to live forever and ever. Why? Because no one would come to a small church like this. If you come on Sunday morning, you're going to heaven. I mean, that's it. Where those big churches, everyone goes to be entertained. But I'm not entertaining. I'm just telling you the truth. The truth will set you free. When I tell you the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, I don't have two agendas. I don't have an agenda to take care of me and so on. No. I don't trust myself at all. I could sin at any second, so I don't trust myself. Do you trust yourself? Is there anybody here that trusts themselves? I'll be good from now on. You know, if you have any, you know, any experience of yourself, you're not trustworthy. But God is, and that's what he calls righteous. God is, and that's what he calls, if you believe that he is, he counts that as though that's righteous. If you just believe that God is good, that's all he'd ever want. Just say, God, I'm not you. You are you, and I'm not. That's Christianity. I'm not like you. I don't know that I could turn the other cheek and all that kind of stuff. But and if I did, I couldn't keep it up. And little kids, have you ever noticed little kids? You tell them what to do and what not to do, and they'll do it in 3 minutes. I mean, you know, I just said stop running. Okay. And then they'll stop for a couple of seconds, and then they're running again. I thought you said, did you not hear me? And so little kids are just getting the concept down. Oh, okay. So they don't know what to do. You stopped them for a few seconds. So they learn the concept long before they know what they're doing. There's right and wrong. What you taught them is there's right and wrong. And you just did wrong, so I'm going to spank you. I didn't do it. What? I didn't tell you what you did. So little kids are guilty. Have you ever noticed that about little kids? Now, if you were all two-year-olds, I would have you. Is anyone here sin today? Every two-year-old would raise their hand, especially if they saw someone else doing it. They'd also raise their hand because they know they did. Because they know they didn't do right. Kids are sensitive that way. I remember, I don't know if Margaret was in the car or not, but one day I was speeding, and one of the kids said, "Dad, you're speeding." Oh, yeah. Oh, that's wrong, because I told him that was wrong. "Dad, you're more than 55, or whatever it was. Okay, all right. So I stopped it. In a little while, "Hey, Dad, you're speeding again." Because they got it down, right and wrong. They got that concept down. And they don't believe a parent should sin, especially if they say to you, "Don't." And so my kids never understood me. And so, but God is not like that. When he sees you're sinning, he's not angry at you. You know the reason that he doesn't like sin? He puts up with it. So it isn't that he can't put up with it. It's that it won't make you happy. Did you know what I just said? It won't make you happy when you break a window or kick somebody or throw a rock at them. That's not good for you. Forget the other person. It's not good for you to do that. That violates your conscience. Right? Because you wouldn't want someone else throwing a rock at you. Or, you know, whatever. And so God is just teaching you something that agrees with your conscience. All right, next verse. "For God so loved," that word loved is agape. There's three words for love. I think I shared this before. Eros, phileo, and agape. In classical Greek, it does not appear. The word agape does not appear in classical Greek. So the New Testament, the Koine Greek, that regular Greek that they spoke on the streets, and everyone spoke Greek, even the Latins spoke Greek. It's only for official documents that they send to Rome. That can be in Latin, and even inscriptions that they make, it's in Latin. But everyone spoke Greek, even Pilate. Everybody spoke Greek. It was an everyday tongue. So this word agape is special because it says God loves you for no reason at all. Certainly not because you didn't sin. He just loves you unconditionally. That's what it means. And so God agapes everybody in the world. He loves them. You can never make him say, "I don't love that person. I know you read in the Bible, he hated so and so." But that, I'm not going to explain it today. But he didn't. He hated what they did. He didn't hate them. He hated what they did. And so the didding just simply proves that your heart is wrong. That's all. In other words, you need to be born again. You need to be born again. You need a new heart. Everybody here has a new heart. Everybody. Why? Because you wouldn't be here if you didn't. So you have a new heart. But you didn't give yourself that new heart. You're a new creation. How did you get that? And just by hearing the good news. Faith cometh by hearing. You just hear, "Oh, I didn't know that." And most of the world today, the millennials, they don't know that. They have no discipline at all. Even if they have Christian parents. The parents don't know how to parent these days and disciplining them. If you don't discipline somebody, if you don't fight against your own bad behavior, you didn't learn anything after you were 10 or 12. Because that should have been done while you were 6 or 7 or 5 or 3 or 2 or whatever. Probably nothing below 2, because it's really hard. You're getting concepts to them. Because Because no matter what you do to a little kid, they're just going to do it back. To little babies, they just do it right back. They do it like that's the way they are. And they'll just do it. And they'll make, if I say hallelujah, they'll say hallelujah. And if you raise your hands, they'll raise their hands. They just copy the people around them. And if you're funny like that, the first time they look at you like, you're an idiot. But the second time they look, they'll copy it. Because they're trying to learn to adjust to society. Little kids are great. Awesome. They'll do whatever you say. But you have to be a disciplinarian. No, you don't do that. And they don't like that word with that heavy emphasis. If you just said, no, don't do that. That love doesn't change people. I'm just going to tell you something. If you love your kids, they're not changed by love. It just means you're indulgent. But parents today don't want to spank. I mean, you have a whole generation that kids weren't spanked. Go to your room or, you know, whatever. Time out or whatever. You know. No, we spanked our kids. It was awesome. It was awesome. I love doing it. Did you know spanking is good for kids? Spare the rod, spoil the child. Now, God doesn't just write stuff in there for it's a joke. He actually says, don't spare the rod. Don't spare the rod. So you have to be disciplined. It doesn't have to be spanking. It can be words. But don't spare it. Just go ahead and say, no, we don't do that. So I never said to the kids when they did wrong, I hate you. I never said that. I always said, we're Christian. We don't do that. Why? Because that's who they are. They're beloved. You're Christian. We don't do that. And so, and if they persist, then, you know, might be a spanking or something. But you don't have to do it more than 10 or 12 times. That's it. I'm serious. You do it 10 or 12 times, and they got it for life. It's powerful. It's powerful. Today, there's no discipline in young people. They don't know what's right and wrong. They're watching TV. They're watching their little box things and so on and so forth. They don't know how to relate because no one ever taught them how to speak or whatever. I remember David, our son. If you call David from his bedroom, which was this tall with stuff, I mean, you know, clean your room. It was never clean. And when he got married, I said, are you going to show Mary your room? The wife you're going to marry. Because the room is a mess. He had basketballs and signs he'd stolen somewhere and so on. He got everything in that room. And you couldn't even see the floor. And he didn't have any money in the bank either. And I said, Mary, do you realize that you'll never have soap? You're never going to have perfume. You're not going to have anything. Because David doesn't have a dime. Well, that's okay. I love him. And so I think love won't make it. You have to be very forgiving. Because he's so casual. He is. If you know David, he's just a loving, kind person. He's so casual. Because he had three sisters. And so he had to behave. But anyway, so it's great. Now he has a girl, and so that's great. Always have the girl first, because she'll be kinder than if that were a boy. Because if it's a boy, it just punch you like that, because that's what boys do. You don't do that to your sister. Praise God. But boys do that, and then you grow up, you know, not liking that. I remember Margaret. One time David walked through the den. And David just brushed his hand so lightly over her head. And Margaret said, he hit me hard. And she was crying. So that's why you kicked him? Yes. Didn't I say if David does that, we're going to spank him. But I'm going to spank you if you just kick him. You have to ask your parent what you do, just like we have to ask God. Well, that's not fair, Dad. You can't spank me for kicking him. No, the rule was you can't kick him on your own. You have to come to your parent. He hurt me really bad. And David said in his defense, I didn't. All I did was just like this over her head. Now, of course, he's lying. So he's glad when she's getting the spanking and he's laughing to himself. But then after I'm done with her, I'm going to go and spank him for doing that. You never do that. And so that's the end of that. But anyway, so it's hard for kids to learn discipline because they think, that's not fair. And it wasn't. What he did was wrong. But he thought it was gentle, but he's a boy. How many know boys overdo stuff? They punch you. They just believe punching is good. And they'll just see another guy and want to punch him. And that's the way boys are. So it's good. Anyway, next verse. For God so loved the world that he gave. That word forgave is didymai in Greek, or natan, like Nathan in Hebrew. So natan means a gift. What do you do to get a gift? What do you do to get a gift?
Nothing.
Because it's a gift. It's freely given by somebody. And you don't do anything. And so that whole idea, you better not pout, you better not cry. I'm telling you why. That's wrong. Because kids are going to just cry and they just do that. It's normal. But you have to then discipline them with concepts, first of all, before they actually do it. That he gave his only begotten son. Why is he called begotten? You think, when you read that, he was born here. Okay? No, he's not talking about that. He's talking about the day that he was assigned in something in heaven. As Son of God, you're going to go down to earth. I'm going to send you down on earth. And you're going to have a new mission. So the new mission is you're going to be a trustee of my name and person. And whenever people see you, they'll see me. Whenever they hear you, they'll hear me. So you'll be a steward. You'll be a trustee. You'll be a servant of mine. So Jesus, even though he was a servant, he gladly did it. He said, I always do what's pleasing to my Father. He said, that's why I'm sending you, because you're the only perfect person. So I'm sending you. And then whatever you do, they will then thank me for doing it. And so Jesus was a great servant because he didn't come in his own name. He never did. He never put money in the bank. He never bought anything or did anything except the food that he ate and so on and so forth. So he didn't do that. Everything was given to him. And when the Father has gifted you, you're alive today, Alex. That's a blessing right there. So that's powerful. Everybody here has been blessed by God. You're alive. Just being alive. Wow. That's worth everything. But there's even better things. He not only that, but he forgave you. That's even better. And then he's cleansing you from all unrighteousness. That's even better. And then he wants to perfect you in love. That's even better. It goes on and on and on. And you haven't seen all that he's doing. You're just reading words today. So you have faith in those words. And that's how you become a Christian. But that's only the foundation. But he wants to keep going. He wants to keep going until you realize what mercy is and what grace is. That's why it's hard for people today to get along in society. And our society, it's not getting worse. It's always been this way. It's always been this way. You know, the only thing that made America different was we believed in God. We started out believing in God, one nation under God. We started out that way. And so that took a long time to get rid of. And it wasn't by Christians getting un-Christian. It was like foreigners coming and teaching you idols from Europe. The Europeans did that. I could tell you all about it. I know the names and the persons and what they said and what they did. But it's a waste of time to do it. The Europeans and the Americans started out saying, let's have nothing to do with foreigners except we can trade with them, just do commercial acts. We were all right doing that. But then pretty soon they got their enlightenment here and their different theologies and philosophies and ideologies that they got. And it destroyed us. So today people are taught in school things they should never be taught in school. It's not reading, writing, and arithmetic, which we started out. And so Americans were not dumb, and they learned to read and write because it's in the Bible. God wrote a Bible, so they started doing that because they got that from the Bible. It's not from the Enlightenment. It's not from the Enlightenment. It's not from anything, deism and all that. Those were philosophies from Europe because Europe was under laws and they hated those laws and they wanted to be free from them. No boundaries for me. That's the way the world is today in America. No boundaries, no walls, nothing to stop me. I can do whatever I want. Well, that's where it is. And, you know, I was born with the old generation in the 40s. Because then people, you know, worked on farms, and it's hard to lie to your field by saying, I fertilized you last night. It's hard, but you can do that in business all day long. You can lie and use phony materials and have it be obsolete in a few years, so you have to buy another click, click thing or whatever. It's easy for banks and everybody to be into foul ideas today. It's not hard. Everybody is looking for an angle to beat the other guy. And so malice and bitterness is today in our society. But that doesn't affect you. It doesn't matter what people do. You don't have to do it. So you don't have to sin. You can just do it the way God said. And this is what he said. Whenever you do something, just have faith that I'll be the one that does it. Otherwise, it'd be a good work on your part. You'd be proud. Then you're going to fall. But just do it humbly by just saying, I believe that God is good. I don't believe I'm God. That's all. That's all he needs. When he hears that, then God will do it, and you will see things multiplying, which is a blessing. And, you know, Dallas, Fort Worth, this is one of the last places on earth that you even have anything being decent at all. It's hard in other cities. Now we're becoming like other, you know, states and cities. And we're just becoming like them. So it's going to take a lot of Christianity to change them. But the hope is in the church. I'm sorry. I know what I'm talking about. If you got a true church where everybody is a Christian, you know, that's a powerful thing. That's a powerful thing. In other words, you love God with all your heart and soul and strength by faith, and you love your neighbor as yourself by faith. But someday he's coming back, and you'll see it. What you believe today, you'll see tomorrow. And when that happens, you'll actually feel it. You'll actually understand all mysteries. You'll actually be like God, and you'll want to do his will freely. Now, that hasn't happened yet. You haven't even come into that yet. But that's coming, so you can start today. You can start today to be happy. You can start today to be joyful. You can start today, fret not. You can start today to forgive everyone. You can start today, especially your family. If you just started there, that's enough to do you in. If you could love one person, you could love all. I'm going to say that again, because you might not have understood me. If you just love one person with all your heart, soul, and strength, you could love all. Well, that person better be God. When you do that, you find yourself then loving others. You find yourself doing it, and it's not because you obeyed a law. It's not because somebody forced you to do it. You just want to do it. And the rest of the world's not built that way. But America used to be built like that because there's a lot of farmers, and it got down to only 2% now or something ridiculous now have farms. And the farms are thousands of acres. I mean, you can't have a dairy today that's just, you know, a few acres. Can, but it won't be commercial. So you need to realize that the world is not really changing. It's just European ideas are here. And they come from, you know, Europeans. And now we don't even know who we are. We forgot who we are. Oh, you were created to be a child of God. So that's what you need, somebody to remind you of that every day. So I have a really important job. It's really valuable to hear the truth and nothing but the truth. God is love. Wow, that's enough right there to make you realize, well, I'm not. Okay, that's not a problem for God, that you're not. He's not. That doesn't disturb him. But what he wants to do is give you the truth. Somebody needs to mentor you if your parents are the best. But parents today don't even know how to parent. And they're reading magazines or they're, you know, listening to something on the internet or something. And so you just get all kinds of ideas that are not compatible with the Bible. So I've told you, psychology is just witchcraft. You began in the spirit, you end in the flesh. That's it. That's all witchcraft is. Witchcraft. Who has bewitched you, O foolish Galatians? You began in the spirit, and so you're born again, but you're ending up to perfect yourself in the flesh. You can't do it. It's impossible. And so when you begin in the spirit, just stay that way. And that's a miracle today when you see a family that's intact. And the law is still based on that. They look for intact families. In other words, they have a mother and a father, and they're well-behaved and so on. They're looking for that. And that's the way the judges decide. Everything in the Bible is built on law and gospel, command and promise. In other words, a law is, you better do this or else. Okay, or you better stop doing that or else. Okay, that's a command. When you see a stop sign, you don't believe in the stop sign. You just obey it, right? So you obey commands. When you get a command, you obey. But people today are not obeying. They don't care what it says. People today just do what they want. So that's the millennial group. And I like them because they don't know anything about Christianity either. And if you say to millennials, well, Jesus told me, what do you mean, Jesus? Who's he? They don't know who you're talking about. God's son. God's son? What God? They don't even know what you're talking about. So they're ripe. Did you just see what I just said? I like millennials because they know nothing, and so they know nothing. And so you can teach them something because they're curious. You can go to Russia today. You can go to India. You can go anywhere in the world, and people are hungry. They want to know. Tell us about, you know, what you believe over there, because we never met anyone like that. And they're curious. Did you know that? And so that's why we have, you know, over 10 million followers just in Uganda. The reason we have that is because I just had to win one guy, Joel. That's the guy. And you win him, and he's got now 37,000 churches, you know. Well, I don't know how that worked out. I didn't do anything. I just talked to one guy. That's efficient. That's cool. Because teaching all those people, too much. Let him do that. I'll just teach you. And so he's not corrupt. And, you know, but it's hard. It's hard in the third world because people get corrupted easily. We call them lawyers, but there they just call them, you know, corrupt. And so they can cheat you. Everyone can cheat you. All your people that are in, you know, senators and representatives and so on, they don't care about you. They don't even think about you. You'd have to be, it's hard unless you give $10,000 to them, or $50,000, or $100,000, or $500,000. You don't really get their voice. Now, if you do that, they're going to do what you say, not what the people say. So they don't care who you are, and they just give you a secretary and so on. You can't even get to them. I will, they lie when they say, I will represent you. They're just lying. Because they're not, when you call them up, they said, well, he's out of the office or whatever. They don't really want you to talk to the one that represents you. So what is a representative if they don't represent you? Because they don't even know your name and they don't know who you are. Well, are you in my district or whatever? So you have to have a sense of humor in this world. Do you have a sense of humor? God has a sense of humor. He does. It's just like pouring new wine into old wineskins. You not only will lose the wine, you're going to lose the wineskin. Because it's going to burst, because it expands. So when you're fermenting it, it's going to expand. The first time it expanded, it was okay. And then you can use that as kind of a water holder or something. But if you put new wine in there, it'll explode like that. And so today, and I thought that was funny. But he was serious. He was trying to say something serious to you. There's certain things you cannot do that even nature teaches you, is don't put new wine in old wineskins. So it's like using a screwdriver for a hammer or anything. You have to use it the way it was intended to be used. So you have to know, but you can see people banging on stuff, kicking the, you know, air conditioner or whatever, and that's funny, but you have to have a sense of humor. Do you think God's funny? Does everyone here think he has a sense of humor? What about the one where you stow a new patch on an old garment? As soon as it rains, the old garment will rip that thing and rip the whole garment. Well, how about this one? I love this one. You're straining out gnats and you're swallowing camels. I think that's funny. Don't you think that's funny? I think God has a sense of humor. But he likes to use homey examples like that that they see every day, you know, because they were agricultural people. So he did this. For God so loved you. This unconditional love of God is unbelievable. Everyone believing in him should not perish. Do you believe in Jesus? You'll never perish. But have everlasting life. In other words, eternal. For God did not send his son into the world that he might judge the world. Did you see that? He's not an angry judge. I'll find something in you that I can get. That's the way laws are written today. They're not written so you understand them. They're written with double negatives and so on, so that the guy could say no if he wants to. So they write everything ambiguous. And you look at it, and when did that guy say that we were bad or good? What? I didn't understand that. On TV, it's the same way. You get this little thing, they're really entertaining you, so you buy the products. But anyway, you think that they're telling you the news. But after they've done, is he for us or against us or what? Is that going to hurt me or what? Because they don't explain it. Let me give you the full explanation. I'll be fair and balanced and all that. You're not. They leave you. If you didn't have some humor in it, like The Five or something like that, you probably wouldn't watch it because you don't even know what they said. Are you aware of what I'm saying? And that's because they use lawyers. Lawyers know how to double talk. I was trained in it. I have degrees in that. How to communicate, which means how to deceive. I was trained in that. I know exactly what you can do. Yeah, I'm not doing it anymore, but I used to do it. Next one. For God did not send his son into the world that he might judge the world. Isn't that amazing? He's never going to judge the world. It judges itself. It judges itself. Because they never did. You know, the only reason you're born is to know God. The only reason you're born is to know God. That if you get to that when you're 80 years old, which I'll be next year, you know, that's great. If it took 80 years to get, you know, so that you're what God wanted, that's great. Somebody said, why did it take me so long? I would say, you should be thankful that you took you 80 years to get it. Because whatever you get, 2 seconds is worth it. You know, if you did it at the last second, that's still good. And God wants everyone to get it. He wants it, but he's not going to force it. So he's not going to force anyone to be a Christian. Ours is the only religion like that. All the other religions are going to force you. They'll put pressure on you. They have all kinds of rules, and they kick you out of, you know, if you don't behave yourself and so on. I like Jesus. He wants to do everything for us, and it's just like a parent. It's just like a parent that loves his children. You do everything for the kids. You don't have a new baby and you say, now here's your rules for life. You know, he doesn't even understand what you're talking about. So you don't give a law to a little kid. You give laws to people that are grown up. Right? They call them minors. So you don't want them to know that I brought you into the world so that I could make you a slave. You don't want to know that. Some parents do that. They enslave their kids. They actually are able to make slaves out of them. And so little kids, it's horrible if you're a little kid and you have to be the mother. Okay? But a lot of girls grew up that way. My mother was drunk all the time, so I had to be the mother. And so on and so forth. Life stinks. But Jesus Christ is the way out. He's the only way out. There's no other way. There's no other way. So I like a God that loves me unconditionally. That changed my life forever. That changed my life forever. I'll never be me again. It's no longer I that live. For God did not send his Son into the world that he might judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Isn't that amazing? That the world might be saved through him. Why does God, only begotten Son, why did God send him to earth so that he can be saved? Salvaged from this world. Because everyone else is going to perish. So he wants to save anyone. Anyone qualifies. I don't care who they are. They qualify. Shem, Ham, and Japheth, he blessed them. And I tell you what, you cannot change God's mind on that. When he blesses you, you're blessed. Willis, you're blessed.
Amen.
You know why? Because God loves you, not for behavior. He loves you for no reason at all, except he loves you unconditionally. And so, you're grateful. Sam, same thing. He loves you, and you can't stop him from blessing you. When he says blessing, he means giving gifts. He means giving you wisdom. He means giving you favor. He means dying on the cross for you. He means everything that you need in this world. He can give that to you. But if you're not a believer, you're not even open to that. You don't even know, because you're under false religion. You're under a lie, deception. Satan loves that, but Satan has no power. You can easily beat him, but you have to be taught. So that the world might be saved through him, the one believing in him is not judged. The one believing in him is not judged. Wow. How many here are believers? You all are. If you're a believer, you'll not be judged. You've already been judged. You're a new creation. Wow. That's incredible. You can actually live in this world and be happy. You can actually be happy every day. I am. You can actually be happy every day. Wow. Wow. What do you do? Nothing. That's what he wants you to do. Nothing. Apart from me, you can do?
Nothing.
Nothing. So nothing must be something. Must be something. Because being nothing is what God wants. Please don't help me. I created you, and now I'm the only one that can redeem you and then, you know, lord over you, and I'm the only one that can, you know, perfect you in love. Let me do it without your help, because I don't want your help. Because you're not God, and I am. I can do perfect, you can't do perfect. And the only way you can go to heaven is be perfect. I'm coming back for a bride without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish, without stain, without iniquity, and without anything. No, nothing. How can he do that? I don't even know what he's talking about. But he's apparently saying, if you enter into a relationship with me, I'm sure you're going to try to mess it up. But that's all right. I love you anyway. I'll take care of it. That's the God we need, right? Everyone wants that kind of God. Because this is a God that loves you but doesn't tolerate sin. What does he do? He separates you from your sin. He loves you, but he doesn't love your sin. But he takes care of that. That's a good father. That is a loving father that actually anticipates where the children are going, and they know if you keep that up, you're going to be in trouble. So I'm going to do everything I can to make sure I discipline you in such a way, not with, you know, beating you and all that kind of stuff, but just simply in caring for you. And Jesus cares for you, no matter who you are. And he wants you to be happy. Are you going to be happy from now on?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Why? Because of nothing you did. It's what he did on your behalf. Dan, are you going to be happy from now on?
No.
Wow. Sam?
Amen.
So that's powerful. When God undertakes it, he never fails. When God undertakes for you, and he's already told you he loves you unconditionally, you can't lose. Last verse. And this is the judgment. This is the judgment. Here it is. This is the judgment that the light has come into the world. Jesus is the light. The light has come into the world. Every light that you have is not just in heaven, it's on earth in Jesus. And men loved darkness more than the light. Men love darkness. Okay, so don't be surprised when men are darkened. For their works were evil. That's why they love darkness, because they want to hide their works. For everyone practicing wickedness hates the light. And that's the case. And does not come to the light, because then his works would be exposed. But the one doing truth comes to the light so that his works may be revealed, that they have been wrought in God. Wow. So let's have a couple testimonies today. I believe everything you said about God, that he loves me unconditionally, and that's my only hope, is that I'm righteous because his righteousness will judge me. And his is gift, 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 gift. He gives it to people that don't deserve it. And does he have a few? Yes. He has a whole world full of them. But you can save millions of people. You don't know how far you can go. Just share it with one person. You can share it with one, you can share it with two, three, four, five. So just start saying, you know, I want to be a Christian, and I don't want to help him. I want him to do it all, and I'll give him all the glory. That's all he's ever wanted. To God be the glory. That's what God wants. So let's have a testimony or two. Yes?
I see something here in this last verse that you read.
Yes.
When Jesus said, but he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God.
Right.
Jesus said, I'm the way.
Right.
The truth.
Correct.
And the life.
Correct.
I believe in Jesus.
Correct.
He takes care of the rest of it.
Everything.
The truth is, I can't do anything without it.
Correct. Correct.
He's doing the truth.
Perfect.
When he works in me and through me.
Right.
That's doing the truth.
Yeah. That's doing the truth.
It doesn't say I do it 100% of the time.
Right.
It's his work.
It's his work.
It's his job. All I can do is receive.
Totally. And laugh. I mean, you have to laugh because he's loving someone that's not perfect. You have to laugh for the imperfection, which the whole world will judge, but you don't have to do it because he's given you that right. You have the right because it's a promise. A promise is not only that I'll be faithful to keep my promise, says God, but you will have a right to say that I believe in you, that you will keep your promise, and now I have that right, and I can say that to you. That's a prayer. God, you know Israel is in trouble today. Save us. The whole world hates, you know, wants to destroy them, and so on and so forth. Everyone here is pro-Muslim or something like that, or whatever, Arab or whatever. Okay, so what? Don't be mad at them. Just pray for them. Bless them. Love them. Forgive them. But don't do anything bad, and don't curse them. Just pray for them, because they could come to Jesus. They're looking at a church that's hypocritical today. They're not looking at a church that's full of fruit, because they don't believe in your faith because they can't even see it. That's deep in your heart. But that faith is active in love. That faith in Jesus is active in love because Jesus does it. The truth. He's the light and he's the truth. Light and truth. Lux et veritas in Latin. It means that he is the light. And that's so powerful, that he's your whole light. You don't have any light. You're walking around in darkness even though you think there's light all around. There isn't. Everything today is darkness. He's not talking about dark, dark, dark. He's talking about spiritual darkness. Everything. So what? So you live in this world. But didn't God know that when he created you? And didn't he know that Israel would go into slavery for 400 years? And didn't he know that the black people would come here for 400 years? And this is the last year. This is the year that we're going to celebrate their 400th anniversary after this year. So 2020 will be then the year that the Muslims are going to take over America. I don't know if you know this. The Muslims intend, they have a whole agenda. You'd have to know their agenda. By 2020, it's at the top of their pyramid list. Do this, 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 and this. Everyone has worked exactly as they want. We've bribed everybody, we've paid off everybody, and so on and so forth. So they want to control their elections, and then the caliph will actually sit there and say, I am God. The God you are looking for is me. Okay, don't fret because of that. Don't worry about that. Do you think it's going to happen? Do you think that 2020 is actually going to happen? I mean, I don't care what you think. I'm just saying to you, it's not going to happen because there's a God.
Amen.
Because God loves you, they'll be disappointed because it's not going to work. And when you're a totalitarian, meaning take over everything, one mistake is enough to make people fall away. What you'll actually see is people running to Jesus, not people running, you know, from them. You see, people run to Jesus because they go, that's not true. That didn't work. And many Muslims today are Christian. We didn't even witness to them. They're just Christian. They made Jesus. And Muslims are easy because they like power. And when they see they have a headache and you pray for them and they get well, they know that Allah did not do that. They know because you prayed in the name of Jesus. I was saying, in the name of Jesus, you ask them, you know, can I pray in the name of Jesus? Yeah, I'm sick right now, so do it. And then they go, oh, I'm going to follow Jesus. That's how powerful it is. Don't think they're hard to get. Yeah, you might think because they're chopping heads off. That's what they've been taught. That's not what they want in their heart. Anyway, I have to go.